This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Synapse, Think Tank of the Air, featuring influencers, creatives, and thought leaders in the Twin Cities. And now, here is our host, Steve LeBall.
Hello, and welcome to Synapse Think Tank of the Air. This is Sarah Moe, the CEO of Sleep Health Specialists, and I am here today with Annie Spaeth, the founder of The Lynn Hall, Amy Zaroff, the founder and creative director of Amy Zaroff Events and Design, and Nancy Lyons, the co-founder and CEO of Clockwork. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I have to tell all of our listeners that this is probably the most exciting day of my life.
Oh, us too.
Wow, that's sort of sad.
So anyway, I haven't done much. No. Oh, every woman in this room has had a profound influence on my career, and I am so grateful that you guys have all decided to join me today. Just for a little background to start, I think... For those of you who don't know Nancy Lyons and Clockwork, she has been a pillar in our community for a very long time, including when she decided to, oh my God, see, I'm shaking because I'm trying not to cry. I won't, I will. I'm going to, thanks. She, her company sponsored a small minority business owner to work out of Clockwork about 5 years ago, and I won that fellowship. So Clockwork provided me a space to start my company. So Sleep Health Specialists was grown out of what was then called COCO and now Fueled Collective. And because of that opportunity, I was able to grow my business and be where I am today. So Nancy, I could never thank you enough.
Oh, geez.
Next, we have Annie Spaeth, who I met through a mutual friend as she started to open the Lynn Hall. And Annie, prior to opening the Lynn Hall, was a lawyer and a child's rights advocate and has done so much in our community for families and children. She's also been such a huge mentor to me and also a lot of other young women in the community. And I'm so grateful for your friendship. Thank you, Annie.
Oh, Sarah, you're so kind.
And Amy as well. Amy is... firecracker of the universe and such a freaking leader. And she is also the person who got me connected with WCCO so that I am able to wake up at the crack of dawn and hypocritically teach you guys about sleep. So I will forever be grateful to all of you. Thank you again for everything. Okay, so emotions over. Let's chat. You guys have no idea all of the amazing stuff these women have done within this state. Annie, why don't we start with you? What do you do outside of the Lynn Hall?
Well, at the moment, I'm a professional Uber driver for my three children in hockey. No, in all seriousness, I do feel like this is a big part of the chapter of my life. I think I, you know, we spent those years in London. We moved back, and when my babies were young, I did a lot of nonprofit work. I had an amazing opportunity to work on several projects with young children in the child welfare system. But, you know, now shifting into running a business, I run the business during the day and through the beauty of having a phone that continues even into the evening. But I feel like I, you know, at this chapter of my life, it's a lot of showing up for my kids in the evenings, driving them to all of their activities. And so I joke, but I really am a professional Uber driver. I just don't get paid.
I used to feel the same, but it was pre-Uber.
But we've talked about that.
Yeah,
right?
It's nice.
We're at this intense time, and I love it.
I miss those times. I definitely do. How do you feel about it with your 13-year-old?
You know, I have a 13-year-old, but I also have a magical person at home that's a wife, which I recommend for all humans.
So she's your driver.
Yes. I mean, I probably am not experiencing the intensity of the driving him everywhere in the same way that other moms might, because I have another mom.
Right.
And I think, you know, that always reminds me that women run the world and run families and are the power behind most men and most family systems. We don't probably say it loud enough. Because mm-hmm. people say to me all the time, how do you have it all? And I'm like, I don't have it all. I have a wife. Like, without
we
that,
all need one.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So bless you for all that you do.
Well, bless all of us, right? I mean, we're all just trying to show up. But I mean, with that, there's trade-offs. There's a lot of great opportunities. And Amy and I have talked about this where I wish I could do more. But I also feel like, you know, right now at this stage, I just need to show up for them. And I still do a lot, I mean, but I'm just a little bit more selective in what those things are and where I'm making those commitments so that I don't feel like I'm dropping all the balls because I went through a stage where I was doing that. And you and I have talked about this, Sarah, mm-hmm. the whole, like, work-life balance.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's such a disservice to people to think that there's a balance. I know that's one thing that my good friend Serene Warren said to me. I think it's all this give and take. You know, it's and to tell people that there's some sort of achievable balance. I haven't figured it out. Something always goes. Right now it's my mm-hmm. physical health, my sleeping, I think we're all trying to figure out how to get it all in the number of hours of the day and still get our 8 hours of sleep like you recommend, right, Sarah?
Right.
We don't have to figure it out though, Annie, because Instagram already has for us. And it's told me that my lack of sleep and eating right has caused hormonal belly. So if you see me walking down the street, it's because with like my belly leading my belly, it's hormonal belly.
I've had hormonal belly for 4 years.
You guys just paused. You know? We must be the same age because I'm getting this exact
me
same
thing on my Instagram.
I don't like the shape of hormonal belly, but I recognize it.
I think my hormonal belly is on my ass. There's a problem.
That'll be next week's Instagram post now that you've said it out loud.
For sure.
Uh-oh.
My phone.
Yep. They know.
My
they...
phone.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, little did you know this is where the conversation was going.
I 100% predicted this, to be honest. Oh, okay. Thank you. Amy, what are you working on outside of your business?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, my job as an event planner is, did you know this? It is the fifth most stressful job in the United States under firefighter.
I can't believe that.
Did you know that?
I did.
That's legit.
But knowing you, I believe it.
Yes, you got to believe it. And so it doesn't leave a ton of extra time. My two sons are both in college now. So my husband and I will be experiencing the empty nest phase of our life. But I really enjoy giving back to community and mentoring young women as much as I can. I am on the board of Appetite for Change, which is a nonprofit here in the Twin Cities that focuses on health, wealth, and social change through food equity and food justice. And I was also recently on the board of an organization called PAPS PACS, which provided care and comfort items to chronically ill teens. So women and children are something that I really like to focus my extra time on.
Love it. Nancy, how about you?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing? Just hang out all day, every day?
What do you mean you just wrote a book?
Just hanging out.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of I'm finishing a book that is sort of a passion project that I'm excited about. And I serve on the board for the Family Equality. We actually just changed from Family Equality Council to Family Equality.
Oh, FE.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Great. And I've been on that board for 9 years. I'm actually going to roll off to the Emeritus Board, but they've already asked me to come back after my year.
Good.
So that's kind of interesting. And I'm leaving tomorrow for Family Week in Provincetown, Massachusetts, which is the largest LGBTQ family gathering in the country or in the world.
Oh,
that's amazing.
And there are literally hundreds and hundreds of families that look like mine. So we walk down the street for 1 week and we aren't different.
Wow.
For 1 week. And it's a pretty amazing experience. And I feel really good about that. Where there's a lot of scholarship folks that get to come. There are people that come from all over the world, and we have programming, and there's classes, and it's a great time. I also am a board member of Minnesota Public Radio. I'm on the advisory board for Marketplace, a show produced by American Public Media, which has studios in New York and Los Angeles and they have a really ambitious mission to increase the economic intelligence of the country. And then I'm also on the advisory board for the Glenn Nelson Center for Innovation, which I'm super excited about. They're doing great work, one of which is Lunar Startups.
Yes.
It's been really phenomenal to watch all the entrepreneurs moving through that program. And I'm on the board for the Minnesota Women's Economic Roundtable. So it's women, it's families, it's mostly equality. And I do a lot of speaking, too.
Mm-hmm. If we wait a few more moments, she might tell us she's on seven more boards. Because it just kind of,
and then popped up in my head.
Oh, wait, there's more. We're like, Annie, don't you feel honored that we're sitting next to Nancy in the same podcast? Like, we are on the same level here on the other side
of
the mic.
And I also feel like kind of a... a loser because when I was on a board, but I have to give me a second. Okay. I got to explain this because when I was on a board, I figured out in a hurry that I am not a, you know, like strategic sit in the, I am a foot soldier.
Yeah.
And I am much better at like being in the trenches. And that's when, you know, I was on the St. David Center board and was supposed to be on for two terms and then got off early because of opening Lynn Hall. But I learned so much from that organization, but I found that I was kind of a pain in the ass board member because I was like, what do you mean we got to wait? What do you mean? And I found that I was the one who was always pounding the table.
You wanted to get to it.
Yeah. And I've been asked, and it was funny because I had said after that experience, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to remember this because it was really, I think, stressful for me and stressful for the organization because of this, like, me wanting to, like, move and them saying, look, we need to be strategic and... And when I've been asked to be on other boards, I'm like, I don't trust myself. It's not you. I believe in your organization. I just feel like I'm a much better ambassador for your organization than I am would be a board member.
Yeah.
So I'd love to know how you balance that offline.
Great. I was going to say, can I speak to that? But now I have to because it's been asked of me. You know, I think I think what you've just described is great self-awareness. Like, I think when you know what you're capable of and what you're not, you're probably way ahead of the rest of us. I think for me, you know, I'll use Minnesota Public Radio as an example. People often say to me, how can you be on so many boards? That when you, my God. And I struggle with the question a little bit because the implication is that I can't give anything, you know, the kind of attention or brain power that it deserves. But honestly, you know, NPR is a great example. It's four meetings a year. So, and they're four half-day meetings, and then there's committee work that happens four times outside of that. Oh, I'm also on the governor's blue ribbon.
Oh, there we go.
That's the thing. I was thinking, where is the thing? Yeah, uh-huh. There you go.
Give us a few more moments.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's okay. A good one. I had to say that one. Thanks, Amy. But I am a huge believer in what public radio's mission is. And I might not always be the highest contributor in the meetings themselves, but I marinate and I have a great relationship with the CEO, John McTaggart, and I'm very vocal. I also have personal relationships with leadership inside of the organization. So how I show up isn't always about the board meetings themselves. Like I do, you know, the advisory board work that I'm doing is an extension of my board service for NPR. And I show up far more actively, I think, on the Marketplace board than I probably do for NPR in the meetings themselves. That being said, I do all sorts of stuff. I go and do brown bag sessions with them or, you know, if there's somebody exploring a particular technology thing that I have some expertise in, I'll show up for that. Or I've spoken at events for them or I have helped with fundraising activities for them. So oftentimes, you know, the stuff that I can participate in that is a strong suit of mine, that's where I show up more. And because I have such a great, you know, connection to the organization, it's easy for me to do that. Mm-hmm. And the family equality is very similar in that the reason I got involved in that organization is because my wife and I, you know, it took us 9 years to have a child. And it took us years to, you know, of trying and years of rejection and years of getting bounced around to get to a point where we got our child. And then we were kicked out of a hospital. We almost lost him. We had lost two referrals before that. So our story was so traumatic for me that the second we felt safe in it, I was like, I have to do something. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that is a big part of like my life's work. Like, and where that's concerned, like the board work is something, but really the most important thing I do is live my life.
Right.
And live it loud and
out loud.
And and talk about it and tell stories. Mm-hmm. Like that is the best thing I could do for that cause.
And I think that the best thing that any of us can do for anything that we're a part of is to speak out loud, right? Because people, we don't realize it, but women in business specifically, but also just women in the community that take on leadership roles and are very vocal and out there, we have a responsibility to send the messages that we believe in and share them. Whether people agree with us or not, it doesn't matter, but we have a responsibility to at least say what we're thinking because we're willing to, right? We're strong enough that we are willing to. And I think people, in especially in Nancy's case, people really do listen, whether you agree or disagree, but they do listen. And I think that our communities are influenced by what we have to bring to the table.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Nancy, I love that it's experiences in your life that have made you passionate about your future projects. Do you guys have any early experiences that kind of shaped who you became as far as your involvement in the community?
Yeah. My grandfather and father always taught me that all you have is your name, so use it wisely. And I actually wear a bracelet that my son got me, and he has one too that says the same thing. And I think that what that means to me is that authenticity and transparency and integrity are the most important things that you need to be a successful human. And it means that you always find ways to help another. And the highest form of giving in my community is anonymously. And so any opportunity that I have to either give of my time or my resources or just an ear to listen mm-hmm. sometimes, I want to do because I want to know that I've left the world better than when I came into it.
When it feels to me that we have a lot of similarities in children's issues, right? And I think a lot of that is, my mom's staying with me this summer and helping with our oldest son, and we were talking about this, that I really remember that as a child, that there were always kind of these stray people showing up at our door because my mom was always the one who would, like, feed them, clothe them. You know, kids that I now look back at and I realize, oh, they were coming to our home because their home wasn't safe. Mm-hmm. And that absolutely influenced, you know, I volunteered at Head Start when I was, you know, a grade school student myself. And then now I understand how I launched on this path towards juvenile justice and children in the child welfare system and how now that's ebbed and flowed into ending up in an industry that disproportionately struggles with mental health and chemical health, like all of that training and understanding, and I should own that. I mean, what we're doing at Lynn Hall is essentially being on a board, right? But it's, you know, the long table fund that we've set up within our organization. So a lot of the work that we're doing now is really around finding those community members that want to collaborate and, you know, like our Nourish series. And now in September, we have different programming during Recovery Month that's, you know, going to feature and partner with Hazelden, and we have a National Geographic photographer that's coming in that's in recovery. So I feel like that's kind of more of the things that I'm doing now is really within the bounds of Lynn Hall and those collaborations. But it absolutely all comes back and started with families and children. And I feel like now my responsibility as an employer is to really, how do we show up and help our employees feel safe? And there's, as you know, Amy, from having your background and working in this industry, it's a lot of people with trauma.
And, a lot.
And, you know, maybe I was dealing with and trying to help the kiddos. Now I feel like I'm trying to help the parents. Mm-hmm. And that's really not, you know, me. And when I say help, I mean not me personally, but bringing in these experts that can help people understand and give some context to what they're feeling, how they're responding. And that's really what Nourish series is for us and what we're doing in that capacity. And that keeps me busy.
Well, in the hospitality business, you know, you get into it thinking you're giving, right? You're making people happy through food and beverage and a warm environment. But you've taken that hospitality model so much further. It would be interesting to hear more about the Nourish series.
Absolutely. We'll do that when we come back.
Synapse, Think Tank of the Air. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, so we are back with Annie Spaeth, Amy Zaroff, and Nancy Lyons. Annie, tell us more about the Nourish series at the Lynn Hall.
Well, obviously you were one of our presenters.
This is true, I did.
We leaned on you. Well, really when we launched Nourish, it was really around this, wow, I looked around and thought, there are a lot of people on our team that are struggling and knew that that was my background. So I just called on my mentors. You know, as many of you know in this room, one of my dearest mentors passed away by suicide back in 2016, and that was just such a huge loss to the children's mental health community. So many of those other mentors from that world, you know, in conversations after I opened Lynn Hall, I just said, you know, would you be interested in coming in? Much like the conversation I had with you, Sarah, and said, you know, the deeper that I get into this work, the more that I see that there are many people that it's not just about providing healthcare. And it's not just about that piece of it as an employer. It's about providing more tools for people to put in their toolboxes. So having you come, Sarah, and talk about sleep, having another expert come in and talk about essential oils and how that can assist in your health, having Dr. Planikoff, our first year, talk about metabolic concerns and how something as simple as a vitamin D deficiency can lead to anxiety and depression. You know, I feel like we're getting led further down this path with this series around functional integrative medicine and also just natural healers and, you know, tools that a lot of us, I certainly was never talked to about this nutrition and sleep and the importance of this as an adolescent. I feel like kids these days are much more aware of it, but boy, what a huge difference these little things can make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that it's not just for your team, but that you have it open to the community as well, so everybody can have access to this information. Amy, what kind of experiences have you had in the industry?
In the hospitality industry?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So years ago, at the ripe old age of 25, my husband and I opened a restaurant, and it was an authentic, so we thought New York style, delicatessen in the western suburbs, because if you are going to be authentic, why not go to the suburbs instead of New York City? But anyway, I always tell people we got our MBA in business on the job. I was working in television production for Steve Adelman, and we were producing some of the early shows for Home and Garden Television. And so I would go there during the day, then I'd go to the restaurant at night. And we did breakfast, lunch, dinner, and catering. Wow. I was more of the front of the house, my husband back of the house. And we really had a great run. It was about 7.5 years, which is great for a restaurant of any size. But we sat 100 people. And it was a really great learning opportunity. And I think it's what solidified my desire to bring together my love of hospitality and my love of production to then become an event producer on a deeper level.
Wow.
Yeah. Fun times. And by the way, there were so many crazy stories also. I mean, it's true what you said. I mean, yes, there are terrible issues that come out of the hospitality world, but there are also some hysterical issues. And I just look back and think, oh my gosh, why would anyone listen to me, a 25-year-old, and now, like, the 25-year-olds, don't you guys feel like they're running the world?
So. We're trying.
Right. Well, I was trying then. Oh, darn it.
That's good. You were ahead of your time.
Yeah, there you go. Just eating corned beef.
I think I have some similar experiences in the sleep lab. I think of all of the sad things I've seen with sleep disorders, people suffering, and then I think of the crazy things that you would never guess were going to happen. I can't even... Like, my top five are inappropriate for radio. all of the industries, they have their characters.
Well, we used to have our top 10 list of, like, the funniest things that we would hear in the courtroom. And it was hysterical.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I'm sure you could just, as you said, you can't repeat them on the radio. But you need to find those. And I absolutely look at this industry as well as just, it's such an incredibly resilient industry. Yes, there are people that struggle, but I really want to focus on these incredible stories of, you know, the creatives and all of the people that we intersect with in all of our worlds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't just want to focus and admire the problem. It's what can we do to help people?
I think everybody should work in the hospitality industry.
You
as
did.
Training for,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I wrote a piece a few years ago, an essay called From Server to CEO. And it's all the stuff it's the 10 things that I learned that I employ every single day, you know, including like, now this is a microaggression now, but can I get you anything? Is there anything you need? You know, like
micro upselling.
Yeah, now it's a microaggression. I can't touch you without asking. But it used to be if you put your hand on somebody's shoulder and you looked them in the eye and said, how are you? Yeah. It had a greater impact on their experience.
Yes.
But I think, you know, more than anything, what I learned in the hospitality industry that I actually just wrote about this in the book that I'm writing, is relationships, the importance, yes, of relationships. And you can have a whole relationship in a matter of minutes. You know, you can establish yourself as a trusting partner, mm-hmm, in an experience in a matter of minutes. And that carries through and influences that entire experience with the brand, with the meal, with the, you know, your whole night out. And, or you can not care. And the difference between, you know, you can have perfect meal, but if as the steward of that experience, I don't care about you, that is felt and that colors the entire experience. For
it doesn't
the
matter
customer.
How good the food is,
right? It's true, right? And I learned, you know, I think about all the things I learned, and I really believe that everybody should have to do food service at some point in their life to learn essential skills, you know, upselling and relationship building and work ethic.
Yeah, conflict resolution. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And
even
stress
the
management. You know, I mean, I still have waitress dreams. In fact, I registered the domain and still own waitressdreams.com because years ago, my waitress dreams made me mental. Mm-hmm. I still, in my old age, I still have two kinds of dreams that make me crazy. And they are waitress dreams where I dream, oh my God, I'll never get to table 7. Table 7 making me mad, I'm never getting back to them. And final exam dreams, you know, like, oh my God, I'm not prepared. Oh, I have, yeah, to take this test. I have both of those dreams all the time.
So, do you want to hear a little something about that?
Uh-oh. I feel like I've just screwed up in the confession.
Nope. So if you know me at all, you'll know that I am a pretty hypocritical sleep expert. Wine, Game of Thrones, that's my life. Midnight, I don't care. That being said, I kind of know I'm making bad choices, and that's why I'm in education. It's not judgment. I do it too. But here are some tools that you can use. So as far as the dreams go, our dreams are a spectrum of experience and imagination. So depending on where that specific dream falls on that spectrum, it can be very experience-based, which is why you're having these, mm-hmm, or it can be imagination-based, which is some of those dreams that you have where you're like, oh God, should I be worried that I'm going to kill someone soon? Because that was weird. That was just experience-based. You're usually fine. But imagination-based. The ones that are very experience-based, we have found, are kind of a manifestation of stress and busy lives. So if those pop out at specific times, think, what's going on during the day to make me have this really, really stress-induced dream?
Okay, but what if I have a waitress dream where I kill somebody?
Call me.
That's when she goes.
I will escort you to right
in the book writing.
I'll get you where you need to go. Right.
We hope. Now I understand why I also have running dreams. So those must be my imagination dreams because there's
you don't
no
run.
Experience there. But I'll wake up and I'm like, wow, maybe this means that I'm going to be a long distance runner after all. But now I understand that no, it's just an
possible.
Imagination.
It's possible. Funny.
Also, there's nothing at waitressdreams.com. Nothing.
I think you could just.
Well, I don't think you're busy, so why don't you get on that? Go ahead and make a new project. No, but you don't have anything to worry about. We all have those dreams. Okay, I have good. The same with at the lab sometimes. One time this happened, I had a patient who was sleeping, and I had to go get a bottle of water. So the lab locks, and I have a key fob to get back in. And I went, and I forgot my fob, and she was being, it was her actual sleep study, so I had to call the security guard and come for him to let me back in. And I was terrified that she had woken up and was like, Sarah, Sarah. And I was like, I'm going to lose my job. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like panicking. So I get back in. She's still completely in REM sleep, never moved an inch. And I have that dream every once in a while where I'm locked out of the lab and my patients are dying. And I'm like, that's the worst. So, okay, enough about the stress. Although, wait, I want to say one more thing because this could be helpful. We've recently learned that the presence of a home in your dreams is usually a representation of your body. So if you have a dream, like your stairs are broken or something like that, then maybe make a doctor's appointment. A lot of people have found something strange is happening. When, wow. Like, isn't that weird? Yes. It's very...
That's super weird.
Yes.
Because when you first said it, I'm like, oh no, what's wrong with me? There's never any homes in my dreams.
That's good. That's good. Okay. But when there is, it's your house and it's broken, go to the doctor. Okay, so I like that you were saying relationships. It's all about relationships that are important. I know all of us have discussed the really kind of taxing feeling that we can have when people are pulling from us when we're already so busy. How do you guys kind of manage that stress of people trying to build new relationships with you when you're already...
Amy's really
all day,
kidding.
Yes.
Just kidding.
No, you're not,
just
and I'm not either. It's important.
I mean, I've taken... exercise much more, but the challenge is that I'm also exercising my hand and fork muscle. So that's not, it's like counteracting the workouts. But I do find that exercise really, really does clear my head and gets me prepared for whatever I'm going to take on. And in my, at this point in my life, I'm trying to learn to say no much more and not feel guilty about it.
I strive to be Amy. I want to be someone who can say no, and I think I'm getting better at it, certainly, and I'm getting better at recognizing when I'm not going to provide the most value to that person, maybe because my attention can't be fully there, or there's somebody better for the job, or somebody that I can connect them to that's, you know, equally if not more valuable than me. And so I do tend to try to be a connector. When somebody wants something from me and I don't have the energy for it, I try to connect them to someone else. As you and I were talking earlier, Sarah, I mentioned to you that I had people who had requested time of me, and I had a stack of emails, and they were just sitting in my inbox weighing on me, and they were the last 15 emails that prevented me from getting to inbox zero. And I was feeling such guilt that I asked my assistant to schedule them all on one day, and that I was just going to see them in 30-minute increments. And apparently there's a Parks and Rec episode that I should watch that both Sarah and my assistant mentioned to me. So it sounds like this is probably a bad idea and I'm going to suffer as a result.
I've done that.
Have you?
Yes, no. Because then you feel a real sense of accomplishment, like you've done what was asked of you and you got it all in. Like, I think you'll feel good afterwards.
Yeah, no,
if you haven't already.
It is. It's a great idea. The only reason it was a bad idea on the show was because the person who had to do the interview or the conversations wasn't aware of it. His assistant did it. She scheduled them all for a day that she thought didn't exist, April 31st or something. And then she was like, there is no April 31st. And they're like, no, there is. And now there are all these people lined up. So, but you sound like you have it under control.
I hope so.
Keep going.
I hope so. But I think, you know, I think especially as a woman in business, there are people who gave me time that I probably didn't deserve and didn't appreciate as much as I do now in retrospect. And so there's this part of me that always feels compelled to pay it forward. And I also think, you know, I'm a big fan of yours. And if we hadn't, Sarah,
oh my God.
I'm also a big fan of yours, Amy. And
it's
Anne.
Okay. I mean, we're
no, but we're all in the same, right?
Yes, yes.
But this is a young business leader, and had I felt like you were someone I shouldn't know, or if I had missed the opportunity to know you, that would have been a massive mistake on my part. So I often think, you know, I can care for myself, but that might be at the expense of learning and growing because of somebody that I get to meet who I might also be able to
help. You mean if
help.
You said no?
If I said no.
Right, right.
That's I mean, I'm getting better and better at it, but I still struggle with that possibility that there's a Sarah Moe asking me for some time.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Also, those meetings all have happened for me at the Lynn Hall, coincidentally.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And that wasn't just
drink
a plug.
More during those meetings.
Yeah. I love that you keep saying at the Lynn Hall.
Yes.
Well, we were chatting and laughing about this, but I shared the story about my husband, and that in the morning when I'm going out the door and he'll say, how's your day look? And I'll say, well, I have a lot of meetings. And he'll say, are you buying or are you selling? And I used to think like, ha, ha, ha. And now I look at my calendar and I look to see if I have way too many where I'm buying in these early stages of running a business, I need to be cognizant of that. And where, and like you guys feel, I'm sure that you go through, I go through times where I am just exhausted. I can't give more. I can't think more. And I ran myself into the ground that first year that Lynn Hall was open, just taking meetings because I was afraid if I said no, that mm-hmm. I would be missing an opportunity. And what I ended up missing was just my brain, quite frankly. I just couldn't. And then just, you know, keeping up with my team. Mm-hmm. You know, our team has just been through, you know, some transitions and just responding to things that wasn't fair to them, that I was taking all of these outside meetings. And they were literally like little kids. They'd be looking in the studio window like, can I have 5 minutes? Can I have 5 minutes? And I would think, why am I dedicating all this time to people outside of the organization when really, you know, I need to also be earmarking that time on the calendar for people in-house. And I think it's hard. I think it's always hard to know when to say no and when to say yes. I feel like with the advent of LinkedIn and all of these ways that people can track you down via Facebook, and I laugh because now I just look at people's titles and I'm like, oh, I know what they're selling. And I sort of weed out that way, like, thanks for the introduction, but I'm good now. But I do think that you're right. There's those Sarah Moes that you want those conversations because they're so powerful and mm-hmm. they launch you into other relationships and introductions that, you know, we wouldn't otherwise have mm-hmm. because of where you're at. Right, Sarah?
Sure.
It's true.
Not to talk about sleep again, but I do think that, you know, my even 3 to 5 year younger self used to be able to stay on my feet a lot longer. And in our industry, your industry as well, you know, just now I find myself exhausted a lot mm-hmm. faster yeah. and then thinking that I can still do the, you know, 6 a.m. up and midnight go to bed and be just fine. And it catches up with you.
Oh, yeah. I have to say that all the time. How do people think, you know, you're supposed to get 8 hours. How do you think you're going to get 8 hours when you're in bed for 6? You can't do that. We call that aggressive sleeping. There's no way to make it happen. And yet our careers and our families and our jobs demand it of us. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of an American culture issue. Other countries kind of have this down. They realize the importance of your sleep, the importance of your downtime in order to show up as your best self for all of these other parts of your life. But it is something that we really need to focus more on, especially since the irony is that everything that we would do during our day, all these things that we place such importance on can be performed at a higher level if we are caring for ourselves in times outside of midnight to 6.
I was so exhausted bringing my kid to hockey the other night. I literally had to like kick the minivan seat down and I woke up to him saying, Mom, get up. Mom, get up. Oh, it was 10:30 at night and I thought, well, I've been up since 4. Right. Like you said.
Right.
You know, there is a change that your body goes through yep. and whether you think you can do it or not, I just feel like I'm not even safe to be driving when I'm that exhausted.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be a little bit more cognizant of, you know, my health, but also the health of others. So I'm not driving my minivan around.
Absolutely.
Under the influence of exhaustion.
Sorry. Aren't you glad that you're a leader, though, that you can?
Absolutely.
Because I often wonder, when we talk about the culture of exhaustion, mm-hmm. essentially, this cultural value that we have around being busy all the time and sacrificing sleep for it, I often think if I didn't work for myself and I had to show up this way for some, like I was actually measured by how willing I was to sacrifice my mental health, I don't know that I could function anymore. Because the one thing that I can say is, generally speaking, if I don't feel like setting an alarm for 0:30, mm-hmm. I don't. Now I have a kid and that is different, but if I don't feel like doing that, I don't. And if I can't, like, I've also had to come to grips with the fact that when my brain is fried, there's no point in trying,
yes.
you know? And sometimes I get to a point, like, it used to be that I would, when my son was younger, he's 13 now, but when he was a little guy, between the hours of, like, when I got home at, like, 5:30 till, I don't know, 8 when he went to bed, I was with him. Mm-hmm. And then I would start working again, which could get crazy, and it would go for hours. I can't even do that anymore. Like, I can't pick my laptop up and devote more hours, mm-hmm. maybe minutes, but not hours, you know, after 9, 10 o'clock when he goes to bed. So, and I'm often grateful that at least I work for myself and I can create a culture that values people when they can contribute their highest and best.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Synapse, Think Tank of the Air. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, we are back with Nancy Lyons, Amy Zaroff, and Annie Spaeth. Nancy, you were just talking about being able to create a culture of care for your teams. How important is that, do you think, to having a successful business?
Frankly, I think it's everything. I mean, we call what we're doing a, you know, we say people first is our business strategy, and that we can't be a successful business unless we're thinking first about the people doing the business. Mm-hmm. And I think forever I have cared about things like, you know, good night's sleep. And it's interesting because we do the employee engagement surveys, you know, like a lot of companies do. And the thing that I'm always intrigued by is our wellness score is always our lowest. Now, we average really high scores and higher than the average in all categories, including wellness. But I'm hard on myself. You know, it's like, Amy, you know, if I get a bad review on a speaking gig, it's like if it's 3 out of 4 stars and somebody gives me 3.65, I'm like
under the covers.
What like, have what? I done? You know, like, I need some of that rosé, and I need a week to not talk to anybody. So I get a little. I have high standards for myself and others, and so I get upset when our wellness score, you know, is low. And it's really people being honest about what they're trying to manage. And I only have so much control over it, right? Mm-hmm. I can only say, well, there are treadmill desks in the office. You should use them. I can only say, you are welcome to take a nap in the wellness room. We have a wellness room. Mm-hmm. Take a nap in it. You know, I can only say, go have a walking meeting or flex your time or time shift and take a nap.
Whatever. Do you really let people take naps?
Absolutely.
Well, how long is too long? Do you have to make them set like a...
Well, an 8-hour nap is actually your night's sleep, and that's something else. But I think, you know, I mean, I'm not much of a napper, but recently I have like taken a nap. Uh-huh. and like lived to tell about it. Mm-hmm. Like I talked about it because I was like, holy Moses. First of all, that was weird. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it was awesome.
Yes.
Right? Like, so when you let yourself take a nap and it works, it's like a totally different experience.
I love weekend naps, but I can't imagine a work nap.
Well, I think naps happen.
They do. They're naps supposed to.
Happen.
They happen.
That's going to be a
good
hashtag. Yes. Naps happen.
Our circadian rhythms shift after lunch from 1 to 3. All of us kind of go through this lull, this dip. And that's why I think it's so ironic that as a culture, we have now forced employees to work through this shift and end up having people do what they call cyber loafing. You know, people are just sitting at their desks trying to stay awake. Mm-hmm. If you allow your employees to take a nap without fear of punishment or repercussions, they're going to be more productive and do better work for you afterwards.
If you keep the cell phone out of the nap room.
This is true. If we have to talk about blue light, then call me.
Or they're going to grab the cookie at 2 o'clock.
Yes, yes,
me,
the sugar.
Like I feel,
bring you back up.
It's kind of too late in the day to do the caffeine, so grab the sweets. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Mm-hmm. I would love to do an afternoon.
You should take a nap.
Day.
Well, you're in a different business, but you weren't. They won't know. Like, you don't
go
have to be on the floor.
Minivan.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I do.
Or
think
the walk-in cooler.
Just
that would help
people
with our hot flashes.
Yes. Are you kidding me? My office is the walk-in cooler. People come to that side of the building and they're like, oh, Nancy's here.
No.
I'm like, you're damn right she is. Nancy-cle.
I love it.
Have you guys seen those moisture wicking sheets?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, they're nice. So
they are
nice.
Moisture like, wicking.
Yeah. So for night sweats, you can.
Well, I went there.
Yeah, it's like Under Armour on your bed.
I just posted on Instagram recently about how the words moisture wicking are suddenly everywhere. Like, who knew about moisture wicking?
Stop! You said
a
it
year
twice
ago.
In a row.
You just like moist.
I hate the word moist. I hate it. It's talk amongst yourselves.
Moist. Sure, wicking is a thing. You should.
Do you know what else is a thing? Grounding sheets. Have you guys heard of these?
No. Now that I could talk about.
Are they heavy?
No. So, or also known as earthing sheets.
What?
So grounding or earthing?
Sheets?
You know.
Yeah. What is it? You use it after you've been in the garden?
Close. So these sheets are under the concept of, have you heard of earthing or grounding? The human body's contact mm-hmm. with the earth releases free ions, and then there's negative and positive energies, and the fact that the majority of us don't actually touch earth anymore causes inflammation, blah, blah. Long story short, these grounding sheets are that you plug them in and they to a grounded outlet. So you're actually, it's like sleeping on the ground. And the studies that they've done in the last few years have shown like people with open wounds heal faster. People with like lupus or different autoimmune disorders with inflammation or chronic pain while they sleep are able to get more rested. It's very new, like all things sleep medicine. But if you are experiencing a lot of discomfort, Google grounding sheets or earthing sheets, read the science behind it, and then get some on Amazon.
But will it help with hormonal belly?
That's
absolutely.
That's really all that matters.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's what I was just
yes.
Like, could I get a concentrated
on my ass. Sleep on your
hormonal belly on my your hormonal belly ass and the rest of our hormonal bellies.
Sleep. I mean, I've accepted my hormonal belly. My hormonal belly is actually just Nancy belly.
Right here.
Nancy Cole.
Get some sleep Superman
cold,
style.
Cold
hormonal belly. That's some woo-woo shit right there.
It is, but on the same Grounding note, sheets. It's, you should just look it up. It's weird.
All right.
It's Sounds very awesome, impressive, though yeah, because there are people, and you know, there's the people who are like, you cannot please.
Mm-hmm.
Patient-wise, it's like, even if you're getting the best care, they come in. And they're just people that are, it doesn't matter what you say, what you do, it's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that got to do all of the kind of experiments and such. And it's,
you know, this is interesting because a gal on our team was just saying that her therapist had recommended that in the morning that she go outside and work in her garden without shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her grounding for starting her day. And she said it has absolutely changed her mental health every day. That's her, even if it's raining, she wants her going out there. And I thought, so now you talking about these sheets, I've never heard about it before, but I'm going to check it out.
Check them out.
Interesting.
There are a lot of weird sleep products, though. This is one I'll stand behind, though.
I'm gonna try it.
Try it.
Right now.
Let's reconvene
like
in a week.
Sweaty balls, women.
Yeah. We got to go.
I'm
going to
try those.
I'm going to try the grounded sheets.
Dirt
it's gonna
sheets.
Be, they're going to be great. Have you tried dirt sheets?
I've never.
Do you like the look of my dirt sheets?
I imagine your dirt
How
sheets
are grounded
soft.
Dirt sheets.
Very. They're brown.
Did you say this was an explicit rating show?
No.
I don't think
you don't know
anything.
What you're going to get with us.
That's we
what
I was say hoping. Dirty.
No, we it's said grounded sheets.
When you talk about sheets.
Grounded sheets.
Oh, okay. Thanks, guys.
And the wheels
clear that out.
Well, can I make one more?
Yes, please.
I have a observation here. So we're in this lovely studio here at WCCO Radio, and I'm noticing like relics on the desk, including a bottle of what I think is one of the oldest mouthwashes ever known to man, which was... not Listerine, but it was...
like Avis?
No, but it's red, and I thought we weren't supposed to use red mouthwash
it.
Anymore.
You're fine.
Lavoris, yes!
Lavoris, that's
right. Lavoris! I mean,
like
my grandmother
Avis.
Told
like,
me that you could get sick from using Lavoris because it was a red mouthwash, and she probably told me that 20 to 30 years ago.
Do you remember what that stuff
it's
tastes like?
It's still here. No, and I don't want to. And then there's a CD clock on the table, and then there's an M&M dispenser
They're
that has no M&Ms in
back,
it.
Amy.
I'm not saying it's bad.
They're never going to ask
I'm just
us
saying
back.
It's entertaining as I listen and learn. I'm also
and
seeing
a slinky.
There's two slinkies.
Slinky.
So that you go...
Anything for stress?
Okay, just wanted you to say...
I've never met Amy before. I don't.
But Lavoris, you guys.
I wouldn't call her a friend. She's more of an acquaintance.
It says freshening breath for over 100 years.
We don't know each other.
And it might actually be 100 years old.
I know. That's the point.
Don't worry about the Lavoris.
Okay, we'll go back to grounded sheets.
Okay.
It's all educational.
So nothing, there's no follow-up? Why are these things here, Sarah?
You know, I will ask the producer.
Oh, you just borrow the studio.
I won't ask him. I'm not going to bring this up. I hope he doesn't listen.
That's really funny.
I've never heard of Lavoris.
Well, no, because you weren't born when they were trying to make it.
I have, like, visceral memories of that in my mouth.
Isn't it scary?
It does.
Was it cinnamon, like fireball? Like,
no, it's like a... It does this,
oh,
like,
now we're going to go to ASMR.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Do you listen to those?
I love them.
Oh, they freak me out so
bad.
Oh
my gosh, everyone just, you know what it, do you know what it is?
Oh,
you know what it is.
I know what it is.
Tell us about it.
I don't remember what it stands for, but it's
I'll tell you.
Yes.
Yeah, Google
it. In just a moment. But basically, you can go on Instagram and find people eating, chewing, doing all of these things. It's autonomous sensory meridian response.
Not a fan. People chewing.
Yeah.
I can't.
Because there's a sensual nature to hearing, like if you hear someone whisper and chew at the same time and you hear like the, I'll just say the M word, the moisture sounds of their mouth while they're doing this, there is like a sensory, you feel like a little tingle on your arms or the hairs on your arms.
A bad one. A bad one.
I don't think it's a bad one.
I do. I've broken up with people for eating a banana.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
really?
Yes. That is, you know that noise? She knows.
I like you.
Ugh.
My sister used to eat waffles with her braces. I wish I could have broken up with her. I remember sitting, and you know, we were like adolescents, and so we'd sit across the table, and it was just us at breakfast. I'd be eating my cereal, all angry to be awake, and she'd eat a waffle, and I'd be like, I'm gonna kill you!
She's a loud waffle eater?
Oh, only when she had braces. She had braces, and you know, waffles are like eating a sponge, right?
I know.
And I would be like, I'm gonna throw this, and I'd throw stuff at her. You know, like I'd throw my spoon
at
her.
But you were supposed to experience low-grade euphoria when you heard people doing that. That's what ASMR does to you.
No.
You experience anger.
Oh, yeah. That stuff makes me... And so I've looked it up to listen to it on Spotify. Spotify has whole playlists of that stuff.
Of ASMR. And so does Instagram.
And it is really...
Pretty
is
women
so
eating lipstick. Yeah, yeah. All you see is their noses down to their mouths, and they're like eating whole platters of things. Oh. You know, this could be a Lynn-Hall series.
But no,
like, what I understand is like people get enjoyment from that because I'm you, Sarah. Maybe it was growing up with a mother who was like constantly telling us to chew with our mouth shut, but I fixate on that in people, and it's really
same.
Hard
me too.
For me to. I wouldn't find euphoria.
I wonder what percentage, right, of the population actually does enjoy it.
Looks good.
just do hashtag ASMR on Instagram, and your whole world will change.
No, don't.
There's these two women named Kim and Liz.
Kim and Liz,
we love
shame
them.
On you.
No.
Kim
and Liz need to go to hell.
No. Kim and Liz is eat macarons.
Finally.
They eat donuts. They eat Dairy Queen. They eat like
oh my God, I've never hated
noodles.
Two people
me
more.
Too.
No, they're actually really fun.
I'm uncomfortable. Oh,
but I kind of want that brownie.
I know. I mean, like you just name it and they've got it. So who knew everybody, right?
Wow.
We went from Laboris to ASMR.
You did.
And
okay.
You were on that train by yourself.
So I really do want to know, given the fact that 75% of the people in this room are not about that life, how come this is a thing? I mean, statistically, how many
because
people...
Because men will listen to anything.
That's pretty mouth with
listen
lipstick.
Listen watch.
Oh.
And Amy's a man.
That's fair.
That's just, a big coming up
there
moment.
It is. There it is, folks. You've been waiting, and
here
now
it
you
is.
Know.
Breaking on the synapse.
Of you seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I don't
so
know.
You, so do you follow them on Instagram? Instagram is...
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I follow a lot of things. You know what? I got the best compliment recently. So, you know, I'm starting to feel a little bit older and, you know, I have a 20-year-old son is mm-hmm. my oldest son and I'm just, you know, things are changing in our lives. And
like
being
your hormonal belly.
Well, aside from the hormonal belly and the adult acne, but other than that, you know, just a different time frame. And someone said to me that she really respected how current I was. And I took it as a compliment because I really do appreciate being in the know about a lot of things because when you're in a room with a new group of people, you pretty well can have a conversation about almost anything.
Yep, yep. But then to Annie's point earlier, you said...
Including moisture and grounded sheets and ASMR.
Yeah. Lavoris.
Because everybody's dying to talk about ASMR.
But it makes you interesting.
I mean, or creepy.
I'm going to vote creepy. I'm sorry. I'm voting creepy. Sarah's voting creepy.
Sarah, are you staying neutral? Or?
Nope.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
When you're in a room with a bunch of new people, you ghost. That's what you do. You get out of that room. You take your little introvert heart, you wrap it in a big bear hug, and you back out of the room. That's what you do.
Okay.
Or is that just me?
That's just you. And Annie. And Sarah.
Yep, just us. Just almost everyone here.
Oh, it's all because of the Lavoris.
Now I'm picturing the swishing of the thing and the, ugh. So Annie, earlier you said phones, because of our phones, our business continues into the evening.
That's a great segue.
I can't get over the chewing.
So are you chewing on the phone when you're doing business at night, Annie? That's the real question.
I think what's happening is I think she's visualizing that guy that she broke up with. Because that's what I did when you did that. Like, I all of a sudden started visualizing people who have really annoying chewing. Mm-hmm. And that's now I can't get it out of my head.
She's looking at me like, I'm trying so hard to move past it, but it's a negative,
check please,
visceral feeling for me. I'll never forget that banana. And I looked right at him. I was like, this isn't going to work. I'm sorry. Checked all the boxes except that one. Oh, so, yes, all the amazing things that we can learn from our phones. But also, yes, they do keep us up at night and keep us doing business much later than we should.
Well, and to Nancy's point, though, earlier, I mean, I definitely now feel like I know when I'm done.
Yes.
And I'm trying to be better about just, like, putting the phone down, putting the computer down, and just saying, nothing good is going to come from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a real, going back to a little bit what you talked about, too, just saying no. Like, I'm starting to get more empowered to say, this is what I could do today. And nothing more is going to happen out of this brain. And it's time to just put the electronics away. And I just mean that having the phone available, that if I have to run out the door at 4 o'clock versus 5 o'clock or 6, I can still do some follow-up emails and things. But I am not somebody that goes to bed with my phone. Mm-hmm. And laser, it's not. I'm not somebody that
I love that
first thing in the morning. And I know that that's what a lot of young people do, because
yes,
I have young people in my house.
Yes.
At least I'm still young in that sense.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, but you have a different kind of a business too, Amy. I mean, I feel like you are on 24/7.
Don't kid yourself, Annie. I'm just watching ASMR on Instagram.
And I'm calling Amy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thank you for the best podcast of my life.
It really disintegrated.
It didn't. No, I have to use the restroom now for laughing. But also, humor aside, thank you for all your amazing insights. I know people will really take a lot from this. So again, thank you, Annie Spaeth, Amy Zaroff, Nancy Lyons, for joining us today, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Synapse. Think Tank of the Air. I'm Leo Espinosa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.